Trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Mom, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotion. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom. It's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion, and their customers are paying for it. Well, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. Consequently, they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Dial #250 and say the words Micro, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250 Micro. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Divisions remain deep in the final hours before the government runs out of funding. Republicans accusing Democrats of making unrealistic demands on a short-term funding bill. Democrats say they're fighting to preserve aspects of Medicaid, which was slashed under the GOP mega spending bill. Senator Mark Warner says the consequences will be immediate in a shutdown.
They are rural hospitals. They depend on Medicaid. They depend on people being enrolled in the exchanges. People get blown off because of the premium increases, they're going to leave the system. They don't disappear. They're going to show up in the emergency room.
Democratic leaders say it seems President Trump wants the shutdown and is threatening to lay off more federal workers. Secretary Pete Hegseth laying out a new direction, he says, for the military at a gathering of high-ranking military leaders in Virginia. It includes new physical and grooming standards. Hegseth says women will need to meet male physical standards to be in combat roles. This is ABC News. ICE agents took Des Moines Public School District Superintendent Ian Roberts into custody last week, alleging he was living in the U.S. illegally. Another school district in Pennsylvania now speaking out, saying that Roberts served as superintendent during the 2020 in August to 2023 and went through a FBI background check, completed I-9 eligibility forms, and supplied documentation to support his work. Health experts are sounding the alarm on a new viral online trend.
Shriners Hospital in Boston is now warning about the dangers of the K-pop Noodle Challenge, an online trend popular on TikTok that was inspired by the Netflix movie K-pop Demon Hunters.
Time for our pregame ramen!
The trend involves eating instant ramen noodles, like the characters in the film, which Shriners says has led to burn injuries. One doctor there says she's seen two or three cases a week since the trend got popular, and that children have thinner skin and are therefore more likely to sustain a burn injury. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With the new IHOP value menu, $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage, and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary, no substitutions, not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
You're on the list for Macy's Fall VIP Sale. That means you're invited to save big on this season's top designer looks at prices you'll love. Like an extra 30% off Calvin Klein, Steve Madden, Hugo Boss, and more. Plus, get 15% off beauty and fragrance from Estee Lauder, Lancome, and so many others. This only happens a few times a year. Don't miss the Fall VIP Sale today, only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Assault charges have been upgraded to homicide charges after the victim of an attack outside Camp Randall Stadium dies.
33-year-old Keith Jones was arrested last weekend on initial charges of aggravated battery and robbery. Jones allegedly assaulted and seriously injured another person in the Southside parking lot early in the morning, September 20th. The victim in the attack died last week, and UW-Madison police have sent upgraded first-degree homicide charges to the Dane County District Attorney's Office. Jones is still in jail on a probation hold. The victim has not been identified. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Bond has been set for a man accused of killing a Canadian tourist in Sheboygan Falls last week.
35-year-old Luis Cruz Bargos was present via Zoom for the hearing. Court Commissioner Ryan O'Rourke said Bargos' bail at $2 million cash. The 35-year-old has been accused of fatally shooting 32-year-old Giovanni Michael Robinson, a Canadian tourist. Bargos and his legal counsel requested a preliminary hearing for which he will return to court on October 8th. However, he is due back in court October 6th for a status conference. Brian Norton, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Students got an educational tour at Madison's Forest Hills Cemetery Monday thanks to the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. Education Director Eric Wright says the annual Talking Spirits Tour brings live actors to the gravesites of four prominent Madison residents who took part in World War II.
They get to hear these people's own words. And what they did during the war, but more importantly, what they did after the war and how that affected their lives and the lives of others in the Madison community.
Those stories include a German POW who returned to Wisconsin to start a prominent stoneworking and monument business, and a Jewish woman who served in the Marines and assisted in the Pacific effort from California. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another warm day, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, check out Worthington, Minnesota. It is definitely worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
And then just like that, the corn market has an extra 200 million bushels to factor into the market. Ouch. And the annual small grain summary found more wheat than expected, too. Bean fundamentals didn't change much, but the market still struggled with corn and wheat lower. Lean hogs dropped on long liquidation, and feeder cattle led a rally in the cattle complex.
Live from a summer afternoon on the last day of September, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Our guest market analyst will be Karen Braun of Zahner Ag Hedge. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll get price action perspective from Brian Split of AgMarket.net. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Joe, we made it into the lower 80s already.
Yes.
Here this afternoon. It's gorgeous. Again.
I can't say enough how much I love it.
Well, I think we all do. That is a fact. All right. Davis has got the week off, and we'll be back with us next week. That means that we've got Michelle Rook in. Michelle with Markets Now on AgWeb.com and the Ag Day National Reporter. Michelle, how you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Yeah, I'm enjoying this heat just like you.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, so here we go again, huh?
I know.
Another September quarterly grain stocks report and more corn than what we thought we were going to have going into the report. Jeez.
Yes and no, because the basis and the spread activity going into this time period kind of suggested there were more old crop bushels out there. So maybe we shouldn't have been surprised, but yet here we are.
No, that is an awesome point. Awesome point. There, you've talked to 50 guys in the last month that have said something along those lines. Guys on AgriTalk talking about it too. How did we not get the message to the World Board just 2 weeks ago for the latest update to the WASDE crop production or the supply and demand report? It's frustrating to say the least.
It is.
There's no question about it. No question. All right. Hey, let's leave some time to get Brian on here and go ahead and get started with markets.
Well, USDA's annual small grain summary also revealed a final 2025 wheat crop estimate of 1.985 billion bushels, which was up 61 million above the average pre-report trade guesses and 58 million bushels above the August crop production report. Production estimates jumped 47 million bushels from August, and the other spring wheat crop estimate increased 13 million. Wheat stocks in all positions on September 1 totaled 2.12 billion bushels. That's 66 million above the average trade guess as well. December softwood winter wheat futures opened near session highs and then dropped to new contract lows just ahead of the close. DEIS HRW wheat futures were 10.5 cents lower at 497 3/4. DEIS SRW wheat was down 11.5 cents at 508.5. And December spring wheat closed at 562 3/4, down 6.5 cents.
One of the most interesting reactions I got to the small grain summary was, geez, they pushed that winter wheat up 47 million bushels. They pushed the spring crop up 13 million bushels. Is that telling us that this corn crop and the bean crop are going to hold on to yield better than what maybe some are thinking?
Oh, boy, I hope not. I don't know where we're going to go with any more bushels there for sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Corn stocks in all positions on September 1st totaled 1.532 billion bushels. That was 195 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. The bigger-than-expected beginning stocks for the 2025-26 marketing year inflated the supply-side cushion. Traders say that makes corn less sensitive to any potential yield cuts. December corn opened near session highs and posted a low-range close. In the process, DEIS corn closed below the two-week sideways trading range and at the lowest level since August 28th. December corn futures were 6 cents lower at 415.5. March corn down 6.5 cents at 432.
Yeah, add those 195 million bushels to 3.5 million more acres than what we thought we were going to have back in June on corn plantings for this year, and we can absorb a lot of a yield cut now.
Yeah, we can, and you'd have to drop like 10 bushels probably to get us under 2 billion bushels of ending stocks, it looks like. So, well, soybean stocks in all positions at 316.5 million bushels were 6.5 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate. That wasn't considered negative, but with wheat and corn futures under pressure, bean futures struggled to trade to the upside. Soybean meal and bean oil also traded lower, adding weight to the bean market. In November, bean futures opened on session highs, but then fell through the bottom of the one-week wedge formation to close at the lowest level since August 8th. Novi beans were 8 3/4 cents lower at 10.01 3/4. March beans closed at 10.35 3/4, down 9 3/4 cents.
December soybean meal was down 210. December bean oil was down 20 points.
Amazing, we're holding above 10 on November beans here.
Yeah.
After yesterday's sell-off in cotton futures, prices opened lower, spike supporting yesterday's low, and then recovered to post a high range close. And DEIS cotton was 27 points higher at 65.77. Over in the livestock, October live cattle were 52.5 cents higher at 231.85. October feeders were up 482.5 at 361.02.5, and we had the lean hog futures for October down $1.30 at 99.85 for the day.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. We'll talk to you later. All right, let's bring in Brian Split, eggmarket.net. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, pretty good, Chip. Good day today. How about you guys?
Well, doing all right. Trying to figure out exactly what is going on here. Talk to me about that wedge or that pennant in the beans.
Yeah, a lot of talk about the potential bear pennant in beans, and we would have dropped out of it today. Depending on how you take the measurement, it roundabout suggests that November soybeans would revisit the contract lows for the Nov 25 contract made back in December at 961. Now, I will caution you by saying there was a potential bull pennant about a month ago after the September WASD report, and what we didn't break out of that pennant to the upside because we were constrained by the downtrend. So it'd be interesting to see if the uptrend right around maybe the 988 area in November would support this market in the short term on a continued break. Okay. But it seems like the market wants to trade below 10 tomorrow would be my guess there.
All right. What are you seeing in the corn trade?
I think everybody's, you know, or I'm hoping that if we can get these corn back down around 407.5, that'd make a great spot for a right shoulder for a potential head and shoulder bottom. So if you want corn values to go higher, bigger picture, and you want to have a measurable formation to give you an idea of how high the market might project, that's what you're looking for. That'd be about 4.25 in the March. So any continued downside, you're going to really want to see support come in at that level. And to your guys' point, everybody's doing the math. These extra bushels from old crop definitely gives you the ability to reduce yield and not see carryout go down. And it also shows you that the USDA is wildly high on the feed demand for the 25-26 balance sheet based on what we got today. So that definitely gives you the ability to think take 5.5-6 bushels of yield off before we really start talking about sub 2 billion bushel type of a carryout now.
Well, and let's say that they do take those bushels off of the new crop. What are they going to do to that 6.1 billion bushels on the new crop feed and residual on corn?
You have to pull that back. Right. That's possibly 600 million bushels too high compared to what we've just had for a feed residual number, right?
Holy
So smokes. Hopefully it's not that big, but it is too high.
All right. Brian, thanks, buddy. Brian Split, AgMarket.net. We've got Karen Braun from Zahner up next.
Tariffs, trade deals, federal budgets, regulations, uncertainty abounds wherever you look. But one thing seems certain. The 2025 corn crop could break records across the United States. Talk with an AgMarket.net hedging strategist today, and we'll help you cut through the noise so you can make informed decisions based on facts. Our experienced team offers farmers and producers commodity brokerage and consulting services. Global perspective, local insight. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures and/or options.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com. Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your fields' soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this report day. Quarterly Grain Stocks Report and the annual small grains summary released by USDA this morning. So we got a fresh look at some of the supply side data that will be plugged into the supply and demand tables going forward. And joining us to talk us through some of the changes, Karen Braun, Chief Market Analyst at Zahner Ag Hedge. Karen, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
You know what? I am doing as good as I can, given just the information that we need to digest now and just all that's going on in these markets in general. I mean, oh my gosh, how do you even begin to digest it all?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you, and we're going to talk about some of those other outside influences, trade negotiations, we keep hearing about, and some people will argue that this won't have an impact on producers' marketing decisions this fall, but they keep talking about an aid package, and you can say that it won't have an impact on marketing decisions all you want. History has shown that it will, we'll have to talk about that a little bit more, because I don't know if you saw it or not, Karen, but Secretary Rollins was on Fox Business here just a little bit ago with Payne, and said, "Listen, we probably got details of that aid package coming next week." Next week?
I know that, yeah, they said that it was going to look similar to, you know, what they kind of rolled out in 2018-19. Look, the sooner the better. If they're going to be doing this and, you know, our markets are going to be disrupted, then, you know, we need to know what they're planning to do sooner than later. I do agree with you. When you dump money into the market and you close off trade, you definitely distort things. And, you know, that can actually cause us more long-term pain. So it's definitely a big risk, but you know what? We just need to, like, let's hear it, right? Let's hear what they have to say.
Yeah, there's a gap in cash flow. There is a gap between where we are right now and where we need to be. And they're going the goal is that they're going to try to bridge that gap with some kind of a support program. And go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, remember when on Thursday they came out with the whole thing about, you know, cattle inventory and how they're going to try to, you know, get going again. And how, you know, Rollins was quoted saying, you know, we see how government intervention distorts markets, so we don't want to do that. On the same day, Trump coming out and saying, you know, we're going to send our farmers money. Farmers are going to be making a fortune, or whatever it was that he said, but it was something like that. I mean, that's the most mixed messaging possible. Yep. So, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It is it's a frustrating period that we are in right now. And we'll talk more about it. Let's talk about 195 million bushels of corn, more than what the trade expected, as we headed into the quarterly grain stocks report this morning. I mean, is it as simple as saying we just didn't feed all that?
You know what? I was disappointed by that number coming in about 200 million bushels above where USDA last had that ending stock number. And we know that whenever supplies are relatively lower, those SEP 1 stocks tend to come in, you know, above expectations and above what USDA last estimated. You know, we've also been suspicious of the old crop, new crop spreads and the basis levels since they were seemingly suggesting more crop was out there. And I know Michelle mentioned that in the open. But where is that in the June stocks report? And USDA didn't materially change last year's crop. So, you know, a larger crop isn't officially the reason. And, you know, the June and March stocks weren't surprising at all to the trade. So, you know, this new number we have now, 1.532 billion bushels, that actually suggested, when you look at June 1, that suggested that Q4 corn usage was down 4% on the year. And exports were up 20% in that period. Ethanol grind up about 1.5%. And you did have the cattle on feed and the hog inventory down about collectively 1.5%. But that does not work out in my mind to being down 4% on the year in total use. So, you know, we know that the residual component of the feed and residual category is really finicky. And I wonder if that wasn't the case today.
Man, oh man, I hate that component of that category. It almost makes the corn balance sheet unpredictable, the residual component of the feed and residual. It is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I just ran through those numbers, and I showed how, you know, I really can't explain how Q4 use is down 4% on the year with these numbers. I just can't explain it. And so, unfortunately, you know, it is what it is, and we'll see, you know, what comes out next month on the balance sheet. But it's just disappointing when, you know, you've got analysis, you know, you crunch numbers, and then it just kind of doesn't shake out the way you might think.
Yeah, and you make an excellent point in the where was this problem in the March 1 stocks? Where was this problem in the June 1 stocks? If that was the trend that was confirmed and in place, how all of a sudden didn't we account for it in the fourth quarter? It's frustrating. Karen, everybody that's using corn right now is making money, right? I mean, your cattle guy, your hog guy, your dairy guy. Dairy hogs, they're you know. But there's positive margins on ethanol. And everybody that's touching a kernel of corn is making money. I don't know how that slows down use.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if they have some kind of negative residual assumption baked in there, because we know with the soybeans we have seen a negative residual on that balance sheet, because you do actually separate those numbers on the soybean balance sheet. So it just does not line up. It just doesn't line up. So I don't know. And I know, you know, we were talking about the basis, the spreads. Yes, that was suggesting, you know, more supply out there. But again, where was that in June?
Right. Exactly. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Karen? I mean, we took five, six cents out of corn today. Is that enough? Do we need to take more out? What's going on?
You know, it's really hard to say, because we obviously have, you know, the new crop coming in right now, and we've got a lot of unknowns there. I mean, you know, there are some people out in their fields saying this is the best corn I've ever seen. There are some out there saying, wow, this was, you know, 20, 30 bushels off what I thought. And it's still early. But I do know that there are some ideas out there that the crop could, you know, the new crop could, you know, be significantly smaller than USDA is saying. And, you know, they sure set the bar high at 16.8 billion bushels. I want to say was the last mark. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if this is just the absorption of all the possible bearish news you could have. But, you know, you do have demand, especially the export demand, just kind of offsetting that, you know, a little bit. And so, you know, what I say is that, hey, you know, if we're going to have this massive crop and we have this competition from Brazil, Argentina, you know, Ukraine, if we're going to have all this, it is better to produce a few more bushels and stay competitive on the market rather than, you know, still have a record crop, a little bit less than you expected, but then, you know, take the price up, maybe price ourselves out. I mean, you know, demand's really been our friend in the last year plus. And so, you know, that's what's really kept us afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at the total use that we are expected to have in the 2025-26 marketing year, 16.055 billion bushels. I mean, it's a huge number. It eats up a big chunk of what is expected to be a record crop. But when you add that 200 million bushels to beginning stocks now, we got a lot of work to do if we're going to see corn carry over for new crop under 2 billion bushels, Karen.
You know what? I agree with you. And, you know, I think that we've seen some really unusual things this marketing year, especially with the acreage numbers on corn. Those have just been really stand out to me. And so, you know, it's going to be hard to predict where this crop's going to go. I mean, we could take this crop down by way more than, you know, the corn that we found today, you know. There's still a ways to go on that discovery.
Yeah. Yep. You know, the thing to remember here is that with 90 million harvested acres in USDA's estimate, every bushel down matters because you're taking 90 million bushels off of the crop with every bushel down. So it does matter as we start to look at this thing going forward. Okay, we are in the middle of a conversation with Karen Braun, the chief market analyst at Zahner Ag Hedge. I want to talk about the bean stocks numbers. Came in about as the trade was expecting. What does that tell us about upcoming price action? And then we got to hit this annual small grain summary as well. They found some extra winter wheat bushels out there now that the market is going to have to adjust to as well. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and recap how the markets closed. December HRW wheat futures 10.5 cents lower to 497.75. December SRW wheat down 11.5 cents to 508. December corn futures 6 cents lower, 415.5. March corn down 6.5 cents, 432. November beans 8.75 cents lower to 1001.75. March beans closed at 1035.75, down 9.75 cents on the day. December cotton today, 27 points higher at 65.77. October live cattle, 52.5 cents higher at 231.85. October feeders up $4.82 to 361.02.5. And October hogs down $1.30 to 99.85. Get more from Pro Farmer. Just try ProFarmer.com.
From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen. Proven G3's three modes of action: feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
Whether your retirement is far off or fast approaching, now's the time to plan. I'm Carrie Scott.
And I'm Tracy Fairweather. We're your local Thrivent agents, and we can help you work towards your goals with confidence. Let's connect to assess your needs and determine the right next steps for your unique situation.
Call us at 715-672-5458 to get started. That's 715-672-5458.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another warm day, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, check out Worthington, Minnesota. It is definitely worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Karen Braun, Chief Market Analyst at Zahner Ag Hedge. Okay, we've talked a lot about the quarterly grain stocks report for corn. Talk to me on soybeans. It seems to me like everything was kind of basically in line with what the market was looking for, huh?
Soy stocks were a little lighter than USDA last suggested they would be, but they were maybe 330 million bushels and, you know, just came in 316. But you're looking at that 300 million bushel carryout for 25-26. And you know that might be headed upwards anyways, given the situation that we have with China. I mean, even if we do get a reduction in the crop, which, by the way, I don't know how you don't get a reduction in the crop, or at least the yield, given the dry August and September that we had in many areas. I mean, maybe it doesn't need to come down as much as it did last year, but 53 is pretty tricky with that finish we had.
Yeah, Karen, you know, I agree completely on that bean yield outlook there. But the combine, the harvest reports that we're getting, I am pretty shocked that I keep getting the beans seem to be hanging in there okay. It's the corn that's got me worried. I think there might be a touch of, this corn has got me worried, but beans aren't as bad as what is happening in corn. I think there might be some of that rather than beans holding in there. Because there's, I'm sure you're hearing it too, the seed size stinks.
We have the pods, right?
Yep.
Got those pods.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm hearing kind of mixed as well. I'm hearing some, you know, wow, they really hung in good. Others, you know what? They just lost yield. And but remember, last year we went from something over 53 down to 50.7. I mean, that was the most extreme reduction in about 30 years. You could still have something, you know, 51, 52, you know, so I'm not calling for something extreme, but the math does suggest that when you have an August that dry and then September that, yeah, your yields do come down, but hey, the pod counts, they were there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yep. Talk to me about some of the trade issues that this bean market is dealing with right now. Is Argentina in the rearview mirror, or is that something that we need to worry about again?
You know what? That's kind of to be determined. Obviously, you know, today Trump said he was going to, you know, meet with the Argentine president to talk about this, $20 billion credit deal after they turned around and, you know, sold a bunch of soybeans to China. But let me put it to you this way. Okay. So we haven't sold any soybeans to China for 25-26, right? On average, over the last 3 years, China has bought 38% of their yearly U.S. soybean needs by September 30th. 38%.
Yeah.
So we have absolutely missed some of the window, and things are about to get ugly when you look at those weekly, you know, shipments. Now, we've been selling more beans to other countries, and, you know, that's great. And I think no matter what, this situation is going to make for a very unusual soybean export season just in terms of seasonality. Like, I don't think it will be very seasonal at all.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show, and I think it's worth putting out there again. The argument continues to be made that, well, other countries, if China buys up all of Brazil's beans, then other countries are going to have to come to the U.S. to buy the beans. Let's just look at the 25-26 projections on bean imports. Let's make sure I'm in the right column here. China, 112 million metric tons. The major importers are going to import 147.2. China's got 112 of that. You can't make up losing the big chicken.
You know what? I'm gonna counter that just a little bit, because I have heard the argument that, you know, well, China's going to get all its needs from Brazil. And by the math you see on that sheet, what do they have? Brazil also at 112. I don't know why people don't talk about this. Brazil has other soybean customers. In fact, 24% of their shipments 2025 through August were to other countries. That's about 21 million metric tons, about 770 million bushels. So, I mean, Brazil has other customers. Now, it's predominantly China, but they've already shipped, you know, 21 million tons to other people this year. I mean, so people don't talk about that, and I'm just not really sure why. I'm not saying that that gives us a massive opportunity in China, but I think the math still suggests, now, unless there's something we don't know about brewing in China, which is always a risk, or there's just more crop in Brazil than we ever could have dreamed of, which has happened before, the math just simply doesn't suggest that China would actually avoid us the entire marketing year. Now, what I, like I said before, I think that, you know, your seasonality is definitely going to be off. Maybe they come to the table, you know, in a couple of months or, you know, whenever. But no, we've absolutely lost potential here, without a doubt.
Yep, yep, no doubt. Okay. Okay, the annual small grain summary. They pumped up that winter wheat crop on us here, Karen, and they pumped up the spring wheat crop too. I got it from both crops there.
Yeah, you know what? I've been looking at the winter wheat crop in the last, I think, two updates, this one and the one before. And oddly, the increase or the change has been coming from winter wheat. And I don't know. I guess I'd have to look back in the data to see if this is normal, but I kind of feel like winter wheat should be solved. It's really the spring wheat that, you know, kind of still needs to be finalized. So that's really unusual that you've suddenly gained this, you know, winter production. And that did happen on the previous report, which was in August. So really odd to me. But I mean, look, we've produced enough wheat here, you know, in the U.S. this year. We are doing really well with exports. That's really, really great to see, you know, but again, I don't think that to a point where we're making wheat super attractive or really changing the narrative overall in the market.
Yeah. What about globally? You know, we look at Russia. Russia has still got plenty of supplies. But the global carryover on wheat, it's not that burdensome, is it?
But it's neither nor. I mean, I think if you look at the global stocks to use among the major exporters, you're pretty much at a steady, I can't remember the exact percentage. It might be like, I don't know, 16 or something. I don't want to misquote, but it's basically the last 3 years. It's about steady. It's lower than it was about a decade ago. But, you know, when you have this situation that's kind of steadied itself out, I think what you're saying is that, look, the current supply levels relative to what the world needs are fine. You know, we've got the wheat that we need. And we are maintaining it at a comfortable level. And the market is obviously telling you, look, we're not that worried about these supply levels.
Okay. Karen, when you take a look at these grain markets right now, I would love to say that we're going to have a mid to post-harvest rally in corn, soybeans of some kind. What are the odds? Can we get that done?
Oh, man. You know what? Corn's interesting because, like I said, you know, the crop is still very much, you know, we need to figure out what's going on there. We do have that really good demand going for us. So there is maybe some potential there. And you have had, you know, large speculators covering their shorts the last, you know, couple months. Beans are just going to be tricky. I mean, I'm not going to say yes or no because, look, we're in a situation that we've never been in before where China is actually not buying any of our soybeans. And I don't know if they're, you know, Xi and Trump are going to talk before, you know, that summit in South Korea in a month. But by that time, another month will be lost of U.S. business. Yep. And this is our critical time frame. So you know, I like to think back to 2019, actually, when we lost about 9 million bean acres in that spring flooding, like from plants. Yep. We planted 9 million fewer bean acres, and we failed to generate any excitement from that. I mean, I don't even think beans didn't even get above $10 that year, which, I mean, that kind of blows my mind. That is how negative the bean market was at that time, that you could slash supplies that much. Yep. And it was like, well, you know.
Got to deal with it. You know,
right.
when you don't have China in there, it's a problem.
That's right.
Karen, what happens if we don't get the October crop production report in the October WASDE?
Interestingly, I go back to 2019. the last time the government shut down. That was about 35 days, I think. Weirdly, that was bullish for beans at the time, because we were just kind of starting to talk with China after the trade war had started out. And then the market was just speculating, oh, China might be buying beans. They might be buying beans. And we didn't have the USDA export sales to tell us, no, they're not. That actually weirdly generated that kept beans afloat. When the data came out, we realized, oh, they actually canceled some beans and they really didn't buy much. Yeah. Sometimes that blackout can have the opposite effect on the market and actually just point people in the wrong direction, because if there's no confirmation, you know, so that will be a whole nother element in this mix when you're talking about, you know, rally potential or, you know, where we're going from here.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. All right, Taryn, if they want to find you on X, where do they go?
They just go to my handle. It's KANNBWX. And if you want to sign up for my newsletter, the link is right there in my bio. I send out all sorts of commentary multiple times a week, so you should check it out.
Outstanding. Thank you, Karen. You know, I didn't even mention it when we introduced you. I need to get used to doing this. And Master Scout on the Pro Farmer yes. Crop Tour. All right. Thank you, Karen. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much,
Karen
Chip.
Braun.
Yes.
Zahner Ag Hedge. I'll be right back.
Progressive knows we all crave validation.
Girl, you are not 37.
I would have guessed 27.
You guys are too sweet.
Sure. Dewy skin.
Terrific. Is something wrong, Ned?
Why would you ask? Just because today marks my 10th anniversary without a car accident or even a speeding ticket? But somehow, tonight's all about your skincare.
Wow. With Snapshot from Progressive, you can get a personalized rate based on how you drive. And that's all the validation you need. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Find what you love. Love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer. Thousands of wines. Guys in the know. When price is so low, it just might blow your mind. And love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go.
Find what you love. Love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer. Thousands of wines. Walk right through the door. It's all here to explore. With guides in the know. When price is so low, it just might blow your mind. And love what you find.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Hey.
Oh.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Yeah, so Big Apple Joe during the break says, so are you watching the game? You're recording the game? Are you keeping track with what's going on with the game? What are you doing? Now, of course, you know, I wasn't. I was trying to say, we're down 1-0. It is the bottom of the third. The wind is blowing in at Wrigley, so that should, I would think, would make for a pretty quick game there in Chicago today. But who knows? I mean, things can turn crazy there in Wrigley. But here we go. We need to find some bats and get push some runs across the plate. No doubt about that. Okay, you guys, let's go through some of these numbers. Corn stocks in all positions on September 1, $1.532 billion. Trade expected $1.337 billion. As Karen and I were talking about, it's about 200 million bushels more than what the trade was looking for. It's a lot of bushels to absorb at this time. At this point in the game, you know, we've been talking about the supply side of the 25-26 balance sheet since April, when corn started going in the ground, and it built through May, it built through June. Geez, look at how good this crop is going through July. Oh, look out, it quit raining. And then it didn't rain much in August and September, especially in the Eastern Belt. So a lot of uncertainty over what that carryover, or over what the supply side of the situation is. And then after we've gone through all of that and we've absorbed another 3.5 million acres of corn plantings, we've pushed our corn harvested acres up to 90 million. Okay. We've gone through all of that. And then we got to dump 200 million bushels of beginning stocks on top of it again. That makes it really, I mean, we had the carryover in September on corn was estimated what at 1.332, something like that, and it's just. I'm sorry, the carryover for old crop in September was estimated at $1.763 billion. That's the old, old crop. We've added 200 million bushels. Sorry. And it's getting... You just wonder how many more punches the markets are going to be able to absorb and still make it and still try to maintain any kind of hope for that mid to post harvest rally that we were talking about. And it's just getting more and more difficult to assume that that is going to happen all the time. Soybeans, a little bit of a different story. You know, the trade expectation on the September 1 stocks, 323 million bushels, came in at 16 million bushels. So down 6.5, 7 million bushels below trade expectations. And that's not an overly burdensome number when we're looking at soybeans, especially when we consider that we have trimmed planted bean acres off of the supply side of that new crop bean balance sheet. So here we are, we're sitting with, as of the September crop production report, harvested bean acres at 80.3 million. So if we do see a bit of a yield hit, pull that 53.5 bushels per acre down that USDA showed us for a national average soybean yield back in September, it can start to have an input. If you take half a bushel off that, get us down to 53, take 40 million bushels off of your crop, well, now all of a sudden, instead of 300 million bushels on the new crop bean carryover, now we're probably talking something in the range of 275, 280 million. Because if we do see that, they are going to trim back usage numbers somehow, some way. That's what they do. It's what they do. So if we could somehow take a full bushel off the national average bean yield, get it down to 52.5, take 80 million bushels off the crop, okay. Now we are starting to talk, and now we've got a situation and a carryover projection on new crop that could get us into that price friendly range. Do you guys wonder if we would have just been better off keeping the 24-25 corn carryover projection somewhere in that 1.8 to 2 billion bushel range? And then get it confirmed, because basically, you know, that's kind of what happened. And I wonder if our demand wouldn't have been even stronger than it was had USDA erred on the heavy side of corn carryover rather than the light side. I don't know. Just a lot of thoughts going through my head right now on what that corn carryover is, what it means for how the market not only will perform, but how the market did perform. Because how the market did perform had an impact on our total usage. It's frustrating. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, October 5th through the 9th, above normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation is also expected October 5th through the 9th across most of the Corn Belt. You've got most of Illinois in there. You've got northwest Indiana and western Michigan in there, and all the points to the west of that. So only southern Indiana and Ohio looking at near normal, and near normal rains also expected through Kentucky and Tennessee. Now, when we jump out to the 8 to 14 day, this is for October 7th through the 13th. Above normal temperatures stick around, and the above normal precipitation sticks around as well. Now it includes most of Indiana and points to the west. So warm and some fall rains coming into the outlook. More of an active pattern in that outlook. Hey, we're going to start up our coverage from the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin, tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A government shutdown looming, an estimated 750,000 civilian workers could be furloughed. Democrats and Republicans.